Jesus told some of the best known, most memorable stories. And this one that Richard read for us, this parable of the prodigal son, is perhaps one of the most famous stories of all that Jesus told. It's a great story. It's got all these elements in it. It's got family tension, the bad boy come good, the crisis point, the resolution. But when Jesus told a story, they weren't just to entertain. Jesus' stories were there to instruct, to teach the people as well. So that's what we're going to be thinking about for a few minutes. What was this story meant to teach? I don't know if you sometimes find it's hard to know what to write in a birthday card. Particularly someone close to you, like a family member, hard to know what to write. I got one from my sister. I think it might have been the year before last. And it just said, another year older, another year closer to dressing like dad. I don't think it was a compliment. But sometimes we find it hard to know exactly how to express our sentiment to those closest to us. Well, the younger son in this parable, he had no trouble at all. You can imagine him there, sat down, he's got the card open for his dad. What's he writing? Another year older. Aren't you dead yet? Aren't you dead yet? That's really what he wants to know. Because when the younger son comes to the father, he says, give me my property now. In other words, I wish you were dead. Get out of the picture. Give me my inheritance now. Well, Jesus doesn't tell us, but we can imagine how the father would have felt. That's pretty brutal. Anyway, he gives the money, and the son goes off to live the high life, but he ends up about as low as possible. You see, the problem with spending money is that eventually it runs out. One time I bought a huge box of Twixes, huge, and I put it on this shelf in the kitchen, above my eye line. And it became known as the never-ending Twixes. Because if you're hungry, have a cup of tea, never-ending Twix, thank you very much. Friend comes around, do you want a never-ending Twix? Thank you very much. On and on, until one dreadful day, you go for a never-ending Twix, and it's just an empty packet. How could they? Well, so with money. However much you've got, when you start spending and spending and spending, eventually it runs out. That's what happens to this younger son. He wastes all his money, or he spends it all, living the high life, and he ends about as low as possible, getting this job feeding pigs. Now, I'm sure many of you know, for a Jew, that is a completely demeaning job. But there he is, feeding the pigs, and as he looks at it, he thinks even the pigs are getting treated better than me. So he comes up with this plan, and if you've got your Bibles open, this is on page 1054, verse 17, it says, but when he came to himself, when he came to his senses, you could say, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I'll say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. That's his plan. He's going to go back and throw himself on the mercy of his father just to be a servant. But of course, as he goes back, the father sees him coming and runs to meet his son. He begins his pre-prepared speech, but before he can get all the words out, the father has wrapped his arms around him, put this fine robe on him, given him the ring, and he's on his way to the party of his life. How does the father explain it in verse 24? He says, This son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. I thought he'd gone out of my life forever, but now he's back. It's time to celebrate. It was party time there for the family. And they all lived happily ever after. Or maybe not. Because the strange thing about this parable is that it's a tale of two sons. It's a tale of two sons. And the older son isn't there when the party starts. So he comes back from his day's work, and he hears the party in full swing. A servant happens to be there, and no doubt the servant's eager to tell him the news, and so he passes on the good news. Verse 27, it says, your brother's come. Your father's killed the fattened calf because he's received him back safe and sound. That's what the party's all about. Well, the older son is not impressed. The father comes out to him, And the son complains to the father, look, I'm the good son. I'm the one who deserves this stuff. He's the waster. He's the one who spent all your money. How can you welcome him back? How can you love somebody like that? Well, the father once again must have been deeply distressed. But he says, the last verse that we had read, verse 32, he says to the older son, look, it was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. That is, figuratively he was dead. It seemed as though he'd walked out of their lives. He was lost and is found. So the question that the father's asking to the older son is, look, will you come into the party? Won't you come and celebrate with us? Well, the parables, as I said, are there to instruct. And so with this one, Jesus is giving us a picture of how people relate to God as their heavenly Father. And he's talking to two different groups. And he says they are represented by these two sons, two different ways of relating to God. Some who are crowding around Jesus, and you can read this at the start of the chapter, some are the sinners, the sort of people who society looks down on, the outcasts, what often called in the Bible the prostitutes, the sinners, the tax collectors, those who are living their own way. And you see, they're represented by the younger son, the sort of people who have run away from God, living their own way, and yet now they're drawn back by Jesus. Other people who are listening to Jesus are the Pharisees or the religious people. And you know, as they listen to Jesus, they think they're a cut above some of these scum who are hanging around. And they're represented by this older son. The ones who say, well, we've worked hard. We're the good ones. Why do you love people like that when you should be concerned about people like us? Well, I wonder how you react to Jesus' story there. You see, how you react will really depend on where you put yourself in the story. See, maybe you feel like the unworthy younger son. Maybe even today you're feeling that there's something in your life, something in your past, that disqualifies you from God's love. Something that means you've put yourself out of his reach, burnt all your bridges. Well, what Jesus is saying to you is, stop sitting in the pig muck in a far country. Come back to God, because you know, your heavenly Father, just like the father in the story, is ready to welcome you, to wrap his arms around you, to take off your filthy clothes and give you all the fineries that he's got in store for you. Not because you deserve it, but because he loves you. Maybe you feel here today like the unhappy older son. You feel you've lived quite a good life, the upright, religious-type life. Perhaps you even feel that you're someone who deserves God's love. Certainly you deserve it more than the sort of people outside. I once worked in a restaurant, and my boss there, we talked about this parable, and she said to me, actually, that's my real problem with Christianity. It's so unfair on the older son. But you see, it's not unfair at all, because the older son in Jesus' story is just as alienated from the father as the younger son. You see, he says in verse 29, look, these many years I've served you. I've been slaving for you, Father. Out of love? No. Because he thinks he'll get some reward. Turns out this older son is just as self-obsessed, self-righteous, and greedy as his brother. But the wonderful thing is, he's invited to the same party. Both sons are invited in to the same party. Well, here we go then, for you today. Where do you put yourself in the story? Do you realize that you may have treated your heavenly father badly? Turned your back on him? Even said like that son, I wish you were dead? Or do you realize that however far away you are, he wants to draw you back in. He would love to welcome you home. Are you ready to do that? Are you ready to go into the party? The party in this story is really a picture again. A picture of heaven. And no one gets into heaven because of their own efforts. No one gets in because they're good enough, because they've worked hard enough. Only get into heaven because of the Father's generosity. Because he's ready to receive all who come. And all those who do come back to him will truly live happily ever after. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this story. We thank you that it shows something of your great love for us. That you care for us and you love us even when we've gone so far from you. So for all those here present today, I pray that you'd help us to be those who come back to throw ourselves at your feet and find ourselves welcomed into your great party. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.